he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Here's the key. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, the day of our salvation. I don't know if any of you remember from grade school, but when you had Arbor Day, one of the things that was always said on Arbor Day is the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then in our gospel reading this morning, another question. How are we supposed to approach God? We are supposed to do it quietly, gently, calmly, peacefully, and with humility. And it says, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you, and you will feel his love. This is from childhood, if you remember. Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Now, many of us have sung this little rhyme with our children, or when we were children, or at least you have heard children singing it. We sing lots of rhymes as young children, but what do they actually mean? Well, this sweet-sounding little rhyme came out of a little event in Europe called the Black Plague. Ring around the rosies. It was thought that this disease was airborne. Therefore, you would wear a ring of flowers around your neck, with the thought being that you would breathe better air. And also, patients' cheeks became very rosy red. Also, doctors would put posy petals in people's pockets and use them as a good luck charm. And ashes meant that those good luck methods had not worked out too well. But you and I do not need good luck charms. For the healings that we need, whether they are emotional, physical, spiritual, are taken care of for us. We have prayer. We have sacraments and sacramental actions. Most important, we have faith. And importantly, we have Jesus active in our lives, in our hearts, in our souls. Ashes from that nursery rhyme. We all know this word from our Christian culture. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It is probably those words that will be used at your or perhaps my funeral one day. You will also hear them later in the imposition of ashes. We all fall down. Well, we know that eventually we will all fall down. A simple reminder that the end of this part of our human existence will come eventually, but then we will go home permanently to be in heaven, to be in our home. Thanks be to God. Well, today is Ash Wednesday. It is the beginning of the Christian season of Lent, a sacrificial season. So whether you are giving up something or taking on something that is meaningful for Lent this year, I hope you will all do well. We come here today to worship and to contemplate Ash Wednesday for a couple of reasons. One, it is a tradition passed down from generation to generation of churchgoers. But beside that, there is real meaning behind it, besides just tradition. Ash Wednesday emphasizes for us a dual encounter. Today we confront our own mortality and we confess our sins before God within the community, the family of faith. And We focus on the dual themes of sin and death, but we do it in the light of God's redeeming love in Jesus Christ. Why do we use ashes? We place ashes on our foreheads as a sign of our mortality and a visible sign of repentance, which has a rich history in both Christian and Jewish cultures. And it's a way that we say, I'm sorry. The ashes we are using today are from palm branches that have been burned. In previous churches where I was blessed to serve, our tradition was that the people of the church would bring in their palms from last year. And preceding Ash Wednesday, I would burn them and then use a mortar and pestle to create the ashes for Ash Wednesday. So from the time when we celebrated Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we were then using palm ashes now to remind us that we will all leave this life and we need to repent of our sins that Christ went into Jerusalem to die for you and for me. And again, I think we say, I'm sorry. The act of coming up to the altar and having ashes placed on your forehead is a way of participating in this call to repentance and reconciliation. It is pretty simple theologically. We are saying that we know we are not worthy of the grace of God, yet we are grateful and are asking for forgiveness for the sins we have committed. If you think back to the gospel reading today, what did Jesus teach us? When you pray, you must not be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We are supposed to be, as Christians, humble. Ashes are a sign of humility. And Jesus tells us not to be like the hypocrites in many different ways. Christ is begging us to be humble in our acts of kindness, praying, fasting, and material yearnings. God does not call us to gloat nor brag about the ways we glorify God. No one likes a braggart, and evidently, neither does God. This is a story that I read long ago and I loved, and I wanted to share it with you. There was a young seminarian who was excited about preaching for the first time in his home church. After 3 years of seminary, he felt adequately prepared. And when he was introduced to the congregation, he walked boldly to the pulpit, wherever that is this morning, with his head held high, and he was radiating self-confidence. But he stumbled while reading the gospel and then lost his train of thought halfway through the message. He began to panic, and so he did the safest thing he could think of. He quickly ended the message, prayed, and walked dejectedly from the pulpit, his head down, his assurance gone. Later, one of the older church members whispered to the embarrassed young man, "If you had gone up to the pulpit the way you came down, you might have come down the way you went up." The vestry person was right. God still resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. How many times have we thought we were doing the right thing and then loved to tell people about what we did? In these verses today, Jesus is telling us to be humble, to not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, to fast, pray, and give, but to do it in secret. Jesus wants us to look at our Christian actions as not something to be bragged about, but something common and done without need for approval of others. Winston Churchill was once asked, "Doesn't it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing?" "It is quite flattering," replied Sir Winston. "But whenever I feel that way, I always remember that instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as large." Are we that humble? It is a common thing during the season of Lent to give up something for these 40 days. As you start your journey, you must ask yourself, why? Why are you doing what you have chosen to do? I usually decide to do something new, to take something on, and yet something that is still sacrificial for me to do. If you do choose to participate in this tradition, how will you handle that choice? Hopefully, privately, and I hope humbly. Yet as we read in the passage, what we give up is not necessarily for discussion nor for broadcast. Christ wants us to be humble in all respects, and we should be humble in this aspect, that is, what we do for others. Ronald Reagan, recalling an occasion when he was governor of California, made a speech in Mexico City, and he said this: "After I had finished speaking, I sat down to rather unenthusiastic applause, and I was a little embarrassed. The speaker who followed me in Spanish, which I did not understand, was being applauded strongly after every single paragraph. So to hide my embarrassment, I started clapping before everyone else and longer than anyone else until our ambassador leaned over and said, 'I would stop doing that, Governor. He's simply interpreting your words from your speech.'" So as you go about these next 40 days, please be humble in your promises to God. Whether you give something up or take something new on, it is between you and your God. But in all our actions of Christian service, prayer, and rituals, we should face them with utmost humility and with thanksgiving. Today, we come before God to recognize that we are mortals and that we are sinful creatures, but we are loved creatures who are saved by our belief in Jesus the Christ. We humble ourselves by allowing a cross of ashes to be formed on our foreheads, standing out to the rest of the world that we are in need of God's grace. It is not bragging if you walk around with the cross on your forehead for the rest of the day, but actually, it is a way of humbleness, because from this act, you are saying you are in need of repentance and reconciliation. It can be and often is a silent witness. Many people will look at the ashes on your forehead today, and it will mean something, I don't know what, but it will mean something to them. It can be this silent witness. On this St. Valentine's Day as well, you can share your Christian love and witness, remembering the words to be humble. Let us then move forward in his service and yet in our humility as we start the journey of Lent together. Beloved, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, and have a blessed, productive, and holy Lent. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.